So let's get into the word. I want to ask you all, I'm super short, so I feel like blocked by this, so you'll see me come out. Does anybody know, and I have a feeling some of our intellects might know this, does anybody know something that happened a few days ago? And if you're my kid and you know, then anyone else? That deals with the name James Webb. Oh, this is going to be fun. Okay, so I'm a teacher too, so I'll try not to geek out. But we are going to start with scripture because I'm going to connect it in a way, and you're going to be like, what does that have to do with anything? If you'll look to the screens, or if you have your phone with the Bible app on it, we're looking at 1 Samuel 17, 34 through 36. My favorite translation to study the Bible is the NASB. So it says, but David said to Saul, your servant was tending his father's sheep when a lion or a bear came and took the sheep from the flock. I went after it and I attacked it. I rescued the sheep from its mouth. And when it rose up, not if it did, when the enemy, the lion or the bear, rose up against me, I grabbed it and I struck it and I killed it. Doesn't that sound like a fun verse for me to teach you all? Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine, he doesn't even call him a giant like everyone else in Israel did, will be like one of them since he has defied the armies of the Lord. So that's going to be our passage, and what's underlined are going to be our four main truths that we're going to talk about. Okay, so did you know that the JWST, James Webb, satellite telescope just returned images from NASA just a few days ago? I think it was July 12th. Scope. What? Yes, you know. I know you know. This is groundbreaking, you all. Just to give you some perspective, the Hubble space station right there is about 300 miles from the Earth. That's where we get images of the Earth. Like, if you were, you can even, like, go on Google and see the Hubble live stream, okay? In perspective to the Hubble, that's the furthest, right? The moon is the furthest we've actually landed. Look how far the James Webb telescope is. Okay, it is 1 million miles away. It's not 300 miles away. It is 1 million miles away, and it just sent images a couple days ago. And this is why it's important. The Hubble sends pictures with gamma ray and ultraviolet light. That's how we see light, okay? But the Webb telescope sees images through infrared light. Have you ever been told, like in school, that light travels at a different speed than time? So do you understand? Not only is it 1 million miles and you can see the cool picture, it captured light that's 13.5 billion years ago. It is able to capture galaxies first forming. And why this is significant, talk to your parents about it. I love science. Science comes to a ceiling, and theology takes it from there. So science doesn't scare me. The Bible wasn't written in science. The Bible is theology. It's above, it's beyond, but it definitely interacts. So what's cool about this science is it's actually time travel. Like, what are movies that you all know of that actually talk about time travel? Yes, Flash, Back to the Future. That's like 80s right there. What else? What else do you know? Back to the Future too. Yeah. Have you guys ever heard of Quantum Leap? That was the jam back in the day. Okay, so anyway, we know, I mean, all the Marvel stuff, right? The Thanos, that, right? So, Doctor Strange, that last movie was creepy. That was weird. It was a bit much. But what I want to say, let's talk about James Webb for a minute. This is what's really cool. Not only can the telescope read infrared light, not only is it 1 million miles away and it found the first galaxies formed, right? But to give you perspective, James Webb worked at NASA in 1961 to 1968. Not even a decade, and over 5 decades ago. Okay? So why James Webb. Why have the biggest breakthrough in, you know, space science, name it after someone that's over 50 years, who died over 50 years ago. So this is the craziest news of all. He wasn't a scientist, he wasn't an astronaut, and he wasn't an engineer. He was just exceptionally good at managerial skills. He is the one that founded the NASA University program. And he is the one that empowered his team to push all limits of exploration. So under Webb's direction, the agency undertook one of the most impressive projects to this day, history, landing a man on the... Yes, that was back in the late 60s. Like, how did that happen back then, right? We might have our theories. But what's really sad is he actually died a couple days before. Can we please, like, what I'm sharing is like not, it's really cool. Thank you. So, but James died, he never saw the man get on the moon, right? Or the men. But he laid a foundation for NASA for one of the most successful periods of astronomical discoveries. Tragically, he never got to see it. But what does this have to do with the Bible story referring to David? Here it is. What stands between the you want to be and the you that you don't want to be is doubt. And I want to talk to you guys about doubt, because these men, they were doers. If you can see the cross and it has the do in it. They did things, and it actually propelled them to fight back the doubt. And I want that for you all. I want you all, look, let me just start off saying this. I am so sorry for what you all have had to interpret in the past 2.5 years with COVID. Because me as an adult, hear me out. Me as an adult has never seen more selfishness in a culture and Christianity in general. And I think it has your generation a little, hopefully disturbed, but if not confused, that selfishness is a part of the deal of being a teenager. And everyone can sit back and be complacent and let things be convenient and criticize when we're actually called to create things. So that's what David and James Webb have in common. This groundbreaking stuff that just came out. David, who did all kinds of stuff at your age, okay? So let's talk about that. If we look at the text, I have the four truths underlined, but I want to give some context to David. Some of you all are new to church, and some of you all, I didn't even know David and Goliath until I went to college and studied it. I came to the faith. I wasn't raised in church. I'll share some of that later. But what do you guys know about David? Call out some things. Yeah. He killed Goliath with a slingshot and his brothers. He was a king. He was a king. Oh, Bathsheba? Is that what you... Oh, he'd take care of sheep. Yes. That's actually the most important thing. We can even go ahead and show the sheep picture for her since she's the winner for the day. Okay, there we go. Stay with me. Does anybody have anything else on David that you know about? Harpist, shepherd. All right, you pretty much got it all. So collectively, you guys are Bible scholars. All right, he tended sheep. That was a job that he was given. But while he was tending sheep, he became a musician. And he became a warrior. How do we know that? Look at our text, okay? How old do you think David was when he was tending sheep? It could have been from a very early age, but in this, and it was probably starting around there, but it was 15, okay? When he struck down Goliath, how old do you think he was? He was 16, 17, somewhere in there. When he became king, how old do you think he was? 30. Right? When was he anointed to be king? At what age? 15. I love this. See, look at how you guys are so fun. You are. So look, here's the deal. He tended sheep. That was his job. But he became a warrior and a musician. He also, Saul had an evil spirit that was disturbing him. And David was known for playing his music. That the officials came to Saul and said, David will play his harp for you. And it soothed Saul. So he had very menial tasks, taking care of sheep. When he was taking care of Saul's vibe, and then when it came to war, you had to be 20. And he was the eighth in pecking order of his brothers. And he had at least two sisters. So the boy couldn't stand a chance to be much, right? And in the eyes of the family, much of anything. So they're all off at war. And he's begging Saul in this passage, I have killed a lion and a bear. I have attacked it. I've rescued the sheep. I have struck it. I have killed it. I can do the same. When all of Israel was afraid, when all the grown men were afraid, 17-year-old David said, I am not afraid. How do you get like that at 15 and 17? Is it goofing off just in life? Just set aside youth or school. Is it sitting at home all summer, not complaining when you have to unload the dishwasher once a week or take care of your siblings? Can I get an amen from Ethan? Yes. Or anyone. Anyone else an amen having to take care of siblings? Maybe Carmen's experienced that. We don't know. So here, the context that we have, David did all of these things, but they actually weren't the menial tasks that he was given, but it was in the menial tasks that he was given that he did great things. So here's the four truths. When I'm done with the four truths, I'm going to challenge you all, okay? So at this point, I am asking, please listen to the Holy Spirit, okay? It might not even be my own voice, but I really, really, in fact, I want to pray over this message, because I want us to have fun. I don't want you to feel like you can't make a noise with a rapper. I don't want to, you can still, if you want to give good commentary, but the goofing off, the distractions to others, I really want to share a word that God put on my heart, and it's not just for me, it's for you. And there's things that God's placed in you that aren't just for you, it's for others. And this message is about doing something. So let's look back at that passage. It's pretty graphic. I thought some of you might appreciate it. When David was your age, he did something with his life. He was given so little. And yet he was given the role to play the harp for Saul. But then he was offered to carry weapons. But then he was pleading with Saul and was able to defeat Goliath. And it wasn't in the hours of him defeating Goliath. It was in the many, many hours of his teenage years of doing something when nobody was looking that actually prepared him. So the first truth that we have is he rescued. Or no, I'm sorry, he attacked. Let me read the passage again so I can stay. Your servant was tending his father's sheep when a lion and a bear came and took the sheep from the flock. I went out after it and I attacked it. Pause. When I became a believer in high school, I had to attack something. I went to church camp, and I was forced to go to church camp. So if some of you are actually like forced to be here, I just thank God that you have parents that see beyond what you see at the value. And if some of you all are like super hungry to be here, like thank God that you're already doing something. But for me, I came from a broken home. My dad died from drugs when I was 5. My stepdad married my mom when I was 8. And he was pretty cool. We were super poor, so we were just happy to have income Like our vacations, which felt like this huge luxury, was like camping. So, but to us, it was like, oh my gosh, like we have a vacation. But he owned a construction company, and he actually had a chemical imbalance. He became incredibly abusive. And so here I am, 8, 9, 10, 11 years old. I witnessed just sheer chaos and tragedy every day. There was no peace. It was a very broken home, screaming, smashing, hitting, throwing. To give you some images, I remember playing Nintendo with my twin brother. We were on bunk beds. We were both sitting on the bottom, and we're screaming at each other because whatever, someone lost. And my 350-pound stepdad came in, took the Xbox, the Nintendo, smashed it on the ground, proceeded to jump up and down, then grabbed each of us and threw us to the top bed. Don't know why it's funny, but yes, it's pretty crazy, right? Like, he was violent. He was aggressive. I was scared all the time. I begged my mom, please leave him. Like, I would say blood is thicker than water. He would tell me I had evil eyes, and I really did. I allowed a lot of demonic stuff into my life. And so I was really bound. And there came a point where he threatened to kill all of us, and he really was going to. And we got out. We stayed at a battered women and children's shelter. Then it happened a couple times that he did that. But all of that to say, my mom finally got us out. She threw us on a plane, flew us to Florida. We were all in Nevada. I was raised in California. I was not raised in the South. I am such a Georgia poser. I love Georgia. I love grits, but I am from California. And so we're hiding in Florida till my mom can like trek across the nation with her car filled with whatever we could get to meet us here and start a new life. And we started a new life like in a shack of a house, and we were in a very drug-populated neighborhood. I am 10 in Nevada and on hard drugs. They were there. There was not a church on every corner. I didn't even know people went to church. And I came to the South and started seeing them on the roads and asking questions, but really didn't care. I found the same group I had there, here. And my mom was so desperate. Just for my sanity, not just my health or my soul or whatever. She forced me to go to church, forced me to go to church camp. I sat with my arms crossed. So there's total grace. Like, I get that there's time that the word takes to really penetrate your heart and change you. But the very last night of camp, there was a human video, which you all can do for fine arts. And it was a Michael W. Smith, which you don't even know, but he was like amazing in the day. And, this guy had chains, and he was chained to a chair, and it just broke, and like the Holy Spirit just fell, and I felt God's love like I've never felt up to that point ever again. It was the first best day of my life, and it changed me, and I'm forever changed. And if you haven't had that moment, it's coming. You keep pressing in, or your parents keep praying for you. You will experience, and you will continue to grow and transform. So went to camp, came back, like all of a sudden I have to change my lifestyle. So when I am using the first point on attack, what I want to share is I had to attack multiple addictions, but one of them was stealing. I stole everything, wherever I all my. So I just remember coming home for the first time, actually, I was so numb. For the first time, I actually felt convicted about everything that I had stolen. And I went, my mom was never home. She was a single mom, so just working or whatever. And I got a trash bag, and I just remember throwing every Mother's Day gift, porcelain, like, bear on a shelf away. Most of my clothes, because when she gave me clothes money, I used it for other things, other addictions. And she came home, and I'm sitting on the stairs of the brown carpet of this old building of our house, and I'm just so terrified to tell her, like, and actually, like, feel this conviction. And she's like, what are you doing? You've taken all my, what is happening? And I just had to let it out. Like, at this point, she'd already known I had stolen a lot of stuff. This is not bragging. This is so embarrassing. I had stolen a gallon of ice cream from Ingles and was arrested. So I have had a record of stealing a gallon of ice cream. You can laugh about that one. And in fact, while the police officer's like taking me, I'm like dropping all of my like Hershey's and Sour Patch and everything to like not get tagged on that stealing. But I had a problem, and I needed God to help me. When you get saved or you're in a Christian home, it doesn't just come natural. It's coming to church. It's reading your word. It's allowing God to actually like get through to you. He's a gentleman. And so my point about the small stuff matters. One little old lamb in this story. But let's not glaze over scripture tonight. David is saying that there was a lamb. And if we can show the picture of all the lambs, if you see this just ferocious, let's imagine it's a lion. Just swoop in. Y'all, I watched Alone season 6 with Jonathan. If you have not watched that, they're alone for like 100 days in Patagonia, like Antarctic, like freezing, and they have to kill moose, and they're starving because the fish are frozen in the lake. I don't even know. It's crazy stuff. But there was an episode where a girl, she had a bow, all you have is a bow, and she shot a squirrel, and it went straight through the squirrel, and the squirrel was stuck in the ground. And she came up to reach for the squirrel to break its neck, because that's what you have to do. And the squirrel stinking bit her. It's a rodent. I was terrified, and I was just watching the show. Like, I can't imagine having been her, the adrenaline rush of, like, just this really aggressive life or death situation. And that was a squirrel, okay? So now that we can back up and kind of feel this, there's a lion coming after one of these sheep. And David is your age. Nobody's looking. In fact, we know nobody's looking because David's dad did not see potential in him, period. So maybe there's a lot of things we can relate to tonight. But when the prophet Samuel came to Jesse's house, he said, "Show me all your sons and I'm going to anoint one of them king." He lined up all 7 of his sons and left David out on the field. He wasn't even worth coming for. So they were not concerned with David and his menial little task. It was David all alone. If you feel alone, if you are alone all summer in your home, maybe you're alone amongst a bunch of siblings, maybe you're an only child, maybe you're just alone because your parents have no clue what's going on internally, I am telling you, the small stuff matters, and you need to attack it. David attacked a lion when it didn't even matter. But it did matter because it produced something in David to want to go after Goliath. So that, like, I'm going to do this. I hope we want to be something. If you don't have a desire to be anything yet, I get it. I've been around young people enough. It'll come. So that's the first point, is the small stuff matters, okay? Can you please stop talking? Please. If I can hear you, this has got to drive Bree crazy. It's so not fair to a church of leaders who are pouring out their heart to you all, desperately wanting you to wake up, do something with your life. The second point is he rescued the sheep. I'm going to ask you, have you rescued anyone, anything beyond yourself? Let's look at this past summer. The definition of rescue is saving someone from a distressful situation. David rescued all of Israel. But he didn't just do it by slaying a giant. He did it by risking his life for a menial, pointless, nobody would know lamb. It's not virtual reality that I'm talking about, some intense adrenaline rush in a game that makes you feel like you've accomplished something in your life. I'm talking about real life. Your life now matters. And there are things, there are people, there are parents that you can serve, there are youth pastors, there are leaders, there are teachers. Let me share this. Please hear my heart. I love you. I love you enough to look you in the eyes and say, please step up as a youth group. Step up as a person who can be something great now. Sophia said that, she told me that Bree asked everyone to be on the app, the Bible app. And Bree let me know nobody's really doing it. And that people had commented, can you just like, it's super distracting for me. Just out of respect for me, move your, thank you. Y'all, the rejection that leaders feel, you will not know until you are a leader. So hear me now and care. You know what the age of accountability is in our Protestant faith? Who knows what age it is? Guess. When it's good to like get baptized because you can't, you're responsible for your own salvation by this age. 8. That was coined by our forefathers who've studied theology, psychology. The age of accountability means that you are at the age where you have the ability in your mind, in your spirit, in your soul to determine, I believe in Jesus, I don't. Your brain has been fully developed. None of you are younger than 8. You all are held accountable. And I'm sorry that culture has told you none of this matters, do whatever you want, no one's looking. It's a lie and it's eating your soul alive. That's why this passage is so aggressive. I pray there are Geneva Diaz, Carmen Brooks, Juliet Porter, Pastor Jonathan, Pastor Diamond, Pastor Bree, every morning are pacing, crying out to God, calling your names out, praying for you, praying for your family situations, praying for your future, going fighting for you. So we can attack it and we can rescue something. What are things that you guys can rescue? Let's look at it. You might have some menial tasks. Damien could keep his dog alive by feeding him every now and then, right? That's rescuing something. When Bree asks to do a Bible app with you all, you cannot be so rude to not have 3 to 5 minutes, just out of respect. Even if you don't care about God, care about her and what she's doing for all of you enough to just commit to 5 days. Do something. What else can we do? What can we do in our homes? Let's list some things. We can do something without being told to do something. We can help a sibling. I want to hear from you. What is the Holy Spirit stirring that kind of comes to the forefront of your mind of what you can do? Yeah. Even do your own homework without being told. But yeah, help someone with their homework when you're older than them and it comes natural to you. What else? Help your mom? Yeah, we know moms need a lot of help. Yes. How can you help your mom in your particular home? What? Yep. That's huge. What else? Oh gosh, do something before they wake up. That would make her day. What else? Ooh, washing the dishes. Yes. Especially when y'all stay up so late and put those dishes in so late at night. I know. I've been around youth. Yeah. Ooh, like crumbles all over the counter. Yeah, that's a good one. See? You guys can hear. Yeah. Nice. nicely. That is disputable, depending on how that goes. Yes, I challenge you to do something with it. Rescue someone from distress. I promise you all, I challenge you all. If you all are in like a group text or stinking, maybe I'll start one. And just, yeah. 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 We could use Slack. That's what all the adults, that's what most organizations use. We're all using it. Anyway, there's a way that we can communicate outside of Wednesday night, and we could get on a Bible app. Did you know a lot of times I do things I don't want to do, but I do it because I know it's instilling character and integrity and perseverance, and those are the only things we take to heaven with us. In fact, that's the point of being on this earth, is to get us ready for heaven, or he would have created us there. There's a reason he didn't. There are things to do here. So let's wrap up. The third point is grabbed. It said, when it rose up against me, that's honestly more powerful to me than the grabbing part, because I am warning you all, the enemy is real, and he will rise up against you when you fight. In fact, time and time again, in 20 years of being in the church and watching people come to the Lord or start giving or start serving or start bringing their family and friends to church, life just smacks them in the face, and it just throws them off, and they got no more fight left. There is a real enemy, and we have got to stop using our physical eyes to see in the supernatural that it's not against flesh and blood. There is a demonic force that's rising up against us, but David still grabbed it, the lion and the bear. He literally put his hand in the mouth, and he wasn't exaggerating. That kind of sounds like a 13, 14, 15-year-old. Let's be honest. Sometimes we exaggerate. He killed Goliath. There is proof that he legit did kill a bear and a lion, as terrifying as it was. So what are you capable of accomplishing, of grabbing? What do you put all of your time and energy to? What skills do you craft to discipline yourself and to be consistent? Some of you all, your personality, you are driven. Maybe you have a parent who forced it into you to be super disciplined. Some of you all may have parents that just kind of let you do whatever. I don't know. I do know after the age of 8, parents do have a role. But after the age of 8, who's responsible for your soul? You are. You are. Okay? So we are going to grab something. I know when you lay your head down tonight, the Holy Spirit's going to reveal it to you. God is going to speak to you, and even at this altar that we're about to have. Maybe you don't know, but I'm telling you without a shadow of a doubt that if you are bold and do hard things now, and you stop waiting for permission to do things or being forced to do things, you do now so that you won't doubt later. There is a benefit, and it's not just killing Goliath. It's having the courage to kill Goliath. So the last point is killed. David said, I struck it and I killed it. Some evil things really need to die in your life. Stop welcoming trash. If you feel like someone or something, when no one's looking, is getting to you, be aware that the Holy Spirit is trying to warn you, to counsel you, to comfort you, to guide you, to stop. It's not worth it. You have to kill it. Don't just determine the to-dos on a list of Christianity. That's religion. Determine what you're going to kill. And I will say, when I went to church camp and I had this breakthrough moment, for me, it was, I felt 100 pounds lighter, And it was so bright in the room, I couldn't even like open my eyes just by all the oppression that I had of everything I had been exposed to, everything that's been done to me, right? But also everything I did. Did you know that when I was in seventh grade, I got a friend hooked on drugs that when I went to eighth grade, she was stuck in seventh? And when I went to ninth grade, she was still stuck in seventh. And when I went to 10th grade, she dropped out. The power of influence that you have in your life. There were things that I was the perpetrator in. There are things that I was the victim. That's the easy part of my testimony, right? Everyone's. But there are things I knew that I thought only I knew. And that it would stop here. No one would know. I want you in those moments to imagine David in the field with all those sheep. And every single sheep mattered to him. What you do and what you don't do matters now. And it will help you not to doubt yourself later. Doubt is what's stopping you from being who you want to be as opposed to who you don't want to be. It's not just a wishing, wanting thing. There is character being built. So if you guys will stand, and if we'll play the music. You are our mission field. You are. We care that much. Be consistent. Come. Have fun. You're a kid. But you're also the age David was when he defeated Goliath. You can be a warrior. You can be a musician. You can be an NBA player. It matters now. Get on the court, Ethan and Neil, right? You can do it. Don't just watch Steph Curry. Do it. Make those shots yourself. If you want to be a famous author, and you will win fine arts, Ashley, I'm talking nationally. I cannot wait because I've been pacing these pews praying. You have greatness in you, and I'm humbled just knowing that I know you as a kid. You guys are surrounded. Caleb, I could go on and on for what I see in you, but I don't want to cry right now. Carmen, you have so much. It's not just your parents that are awesome leaders. God put you in their family for you to be an even greater leader. You just need to see the example at an early age. Damien and Ethan and Neil and everyone who's a firstborn, there's a reason you're the firstborn. It's not just to be annoyed by your younger siblings. God called you to be a firstborn so you can know how to lead hundreds of thousands of people. That's what David did. He had no one to lead at your age, but he led his own life. So if you will bow your heads and let's pray. God, I pray over the complacency that has settled in our culture. I am not attacking this person. I want everyone to feel love, acceptance, and forgiveness right now. But what stands between him or her from who they want to be and the him or her that they don't is doubt. And I bind it in Jesus' name. The Holy Spirit empowers these students. And they are capable of being a David for their generation. May our students not base their lifestyle off of selfish COVID culture that makes an excuse for everything. You barely feel sick. I can't go. And you get in a habit. You don't even want to do anything. You just want to sit in your room and be selfish. People don't want to be inconvenienced, but the gospel is to be inconvenienced. Convenience is not making disciples. And our great commission, you are commissioned to make disciples. Bring your friends here so that this youth group can be fun and hype and exciting. Consumerism is not contributing. We have a world full of young people who think that they have a right to be a critic instead of responsible to be constructive. May these practical truths and tools that I've shared stop their doubt now at an early age. May the four truths convict all of us, including myself, to repent for what we haven't attacked, what we haven't cared to rescue, what we haven't done actively or aggressively to grab a hold of and kill when it comes to sin, transform these students' hearts. So I am challenging you all right now, if you do want to do something, step forward now. I wish Bree could see this. God. It's like, nope, not gonna be that one. Lord, I commission every single one of these students who's saying they want to do something. Call it out of them, Holy Spirit. You are the only one that can speak straight to their hearts. Nikki, Madison, and Dane, and Jonathan, can you just lay hands as we just do 30 more seconds of prayer? God, for their courage to step forward, which seems... may that be what propels them, what launches them to step forward and do something in this world. I know they need an encounter from you, God, to care. So Holy Spirit, will you show yourself to them? Give them dreams. Give them visions. May they be so full they have to start journaling. And may creativity, God, you're the author and finisher of all creative. Will you stir them, Lord, to get out on the court, to get out and do some chores, to get out and whatever it is, Holy Spirit, you're saying it to them right now, because it is the seed to their greatness. We thank you, God, that there is power in prayer. And we seal this time in worship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.